This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's up and welcome in. A happy 4th of July to all of you. I am not Patrick Maher, not as good looking. I tried to wear a Maher-esque outfit. I feel like I kind of hit it out of the park with that thing. Color scheme's really nice. Dustin Sweetelson's here, of course, and Amal Shah. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel. I get to be here for today and some amount of days going forward, so we'll see. But I'm excited. I love being on the show. It's going to be a good one. Minus 500 that I get the show name wrong at some point, but a good show on tap nonetheless. Coming up in 15, Chad Dewing's going to be with us, Rip City Radio 620. And we're going to talk a lot about Damian Lillard, I guess. I think that's a topic of conversation worth discussing. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, MLB Insider. He's going to be with us at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And then Jeff Fletcher. Oh, some sad news for my Angels. We got to discuss. That's coming up at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. But a happy 4th, Amal. What's going on? I haven't worked with you for a minute.
It has been a minute. Happy 4th of July to everyone. Great happy birthday to America. And looking forward to it. I know we'll have some energy here for the next 3 hours, especially when we get into that Angels conversation as to what they should do with the potential. I have to say potential, even though it's a foregone conclusion, American League MVP.
Yes, that'll be the case. We'll get into it a little bit later. I think that a lot of people think that the injury, whatever it's going to be for Mike Trout, changes the math, the equation, what the Angels are going to do. But if it's something that the Angels need to do, it probably means that they won't do it, given the fact that this history that the team has is tried and true in terms of doing the wrong thing. We will hit on, I wanted to open with this because this was the biggest sporting event of the day. Kind of an upset, like in terms of the failure of one Joey Chestnut today. I know, Dustin, that you were watching this intently. Matt Brown was in here earlier. He was like complaining about how gross it was. And I was like, yeah, come on, stop. It's one of the greatest sporting events of the year. So Chestnut goes in, he wins this thing. But a lot of the early moves, and here's the thing, it got canceled at first and then it came back. So I'm sure a lot of books were refunding things. But the numbers that were out there, Amal, total of 72.5 total dogs, goes well under that. The spread or the total dogs for some of these other guys he was matched up with, he was a 21.5 dog favorite over one. I think it was the runner up in this. Like, he didn't perform very well, Joey Chestnut. What an upset. You're not into this, huh?
Not at all.
What?
Well, first of all, let's start with the fact that I'm a vegetarian. So I'm not really that interested in a hot dog eating contest. Second, I mean, do we really need to show how much of gluttony we participate in
yes.
America? I mean, give me a break.
It's also not gluttony. It's athleticism.
Athleticism. Next, you're going to tell me bowling's a sport.
This is the most American thing that's ever happened in this nation.
Please.
You come in, you wish America a happy birthday, and then you stomp all over one of its greatest traditions.
This is idiotic. It'd actually be more entertaining if somebody needed an ambulance.
You could not do anything near what these athletes do every single year.
Nor would I want to.
I think it's a great event. I'm with you. I was actually disappointed, Dustin, when it got canceled. And then I saw it got on. I was rushing here so I could sit here and watch some of it.
But
it was tremendous.
I think the biggest takeaway here, though, is the fact that similar to the NBA with like LeBron and Steph and Clay at the end, the NBA is becoming more wide open. We're very close to this hot dog eating contest being a little bit more open with Joey Chestnut cashing on the under, only 62 dogs today. I mean, this is like Willie Mays with the Mets, Johnny Unitas with the Chargers, Franco Harris on the Seahawks, Hakeem Olajuwon on the Raptors. Like, this is like a hero in his sport looking like he's lost his fastball.
Okay.
And I think that opens up some opportunities for some young blood to get in the mix next year.
I don't like this conversation. I feel like we're reacting a little. Like, here's the thing. This was brought up, and I think this is a really good point. What do they do with the dogs in the layoff? If those things are recooked, they're harder, they're tougher to chew.
By the way, I feel like I am built to be the inside reporter for this contest. Like, I don't understand why I'm here and not at Coney Island on the scene being the reporter on the hot dogs. No one's done more with hot dogs, both at a dinner table and my social life, than I have.
Because our travel budget barely sends you to Thomas and Mac.
Well, I do pay for my own gas there.
And hey, we were in Arizona for the Super Bowl last year. So they
paid.
Select few.
They remade
people that have covered Super Bowls in the past.
They remade the hot dogs today, JVT, during the break.
That's tough. That's I think, something that they're not ready for.
No, see, I think the stale hot dogs would have been harder. As someone who just ate a hot dog with a stale bun, it was a little bit harder to get it down the gullet.
You ever cooked one, let it cool down, and then recooked it? That's It's tough, man.
It's a hot dog. It can do anything.
So here's the thing. I have some insight into this. So our very first year in existence, we did our, you know, hot dog eating contest. It was for charity. Jimmy Vaccaro challenged me, I don't know if you remember them all, to eat seven hot dogs in 11 minutes. And I will always say, after watching this, in my very, very brief experience, despite my looks, in terms of professional eating, the one thing that I was amazed by in terms of, like, the issue that I had, it was not getting full. It was the repetitive taste. Like, I will always go back to that. By the time I got to the fifth dog, dude, the taste was repulsive. I couldn't do it. Watching him slug down 62, man, the mental toughness that some of these athletes have in these situations, it's incredible. On par with Bill Russell.
The timing is hard. That's the thing, is that, like, look, I'm a marathon eater. Over the course of the day, I will out-consume calories anyone on the planet. But to give me a fixed window to shove these things down my throat, it's just, it's not that easy.
How did you do on that one?
I got five. I got like five in.
But did you feel sick?
No, like that was the, I did feel sick, but again, it was the taste thing. It wasn't like the, oh my God, I'm so full, I'm going to lose it. It was that, like.
You needed toppings or a sauce or something. Well,
and they also, I think some of the liquids that they have there, it's not just water, right? Some of them's Gatorade. Like Crystal Light and like, yeah, Gatorade. See, and that's the thing. They do that to break up the flavor because that's one of the things that gets you.
I think it helps break down the bread, too.
Yeah, the liquid part of it. But, dude, I'm telling you, I need a ketchup or something. This is a good betting opportunity. Not opportunity, because there was, like, some move, and there's thoughts that, like, there are sharp groups out there going and attacking some of these. I don't know if that's actually the case. We did see movement on these, though, Maul. And we'll see if maybe people actually – it was actually like, oh my God, we're getting respected money. Let's move this thing. Or if it was like
they got $22 right. They got 22 on the over. Let's move it up to five dogs.
Look, you have to wonder though. You have to wonder in the future. Like Kobayashi is one of the most disgraced athletes ever. He just disappeared once he lost the belt.
Yeah.
Like, does he see this as a chance to come back to the sport, make a comeback, and battle Joey Chestnut next year?
So, okay, I got to look back on this. Has he been steadily declining? Like, why is this a topic of conversation today?
Or
we just watched what happened today, yes. And we're all just like, that's got to be.
I'll get you Joey Chestnut results.
I think the weather
years.
Played a key factor today.
I mean, the weather, the delay, whatever it was.
Yeah, why is this not in a dome?
There you go. Now you're into it. Why, you're getting there.
This should be in a dome. Why is weather impacting it?
Listen, we have one of the foremost NBA minds in this room, and we're talking about Joey Chestnut slamming hot dogs, and we can figure out if my boy Dame's going to be in South Florida or not.
I mean, we could talk about that.
I'm more interested in that.
All right, fine.
No, it's fine. Actually, I'm actually more interested in taking – Dustin brought up a great question. We're going to get into it a little bit later on about the MVP and why it may not be a slam dunk as much as people think it is. We'll have to figure that one out a little bit later on. We'll get into that. But I want to get your opinion as well on Shohei, because I know you're obviously a huge Angel fan growing up out here in Nevada. People don't know, the L.A. teams are the closest city here for us. Obviously, Phoenix also similar proximity.
Well, I was also born out there. That's why.
I had to
choose my ties. When I was becoming a sports fan, had to be a little bit more. That's why it's Clippers, Angels. I wanted teams that I could respect, that once they got to the promised land, it would be worth it.
I respect your Clippers fandom, because it's even hard to find in L.A. County. But here's the question I have for you. How did you become a Colts fan?
That was like, hey, NFL's Peyton awesome, Manning. And Peyton Manning's great,
yeah,
and I'm like 10 years old and watching
that's
how awesome
fair.
He is. Look, I think when you're talking about, as we bring this to the important topic, we're going to have the Portland perspective coming up, when it comes to Damian Lillard and where he might go, I will say this, Amal, I don't know where he's going to go.
Yeah.
If you listen to the smart people that are connected, Brian Windhorst over at ESPN, Tim Bontemps over at ESPN, and the most recent podcast for Windhorst, both settled on two teams. Bontemps said Philly. Windhorst said Miami. So those seem to be the top two teams in contention. I am shocked, because a lot of people who know things, those are the two teams that keep coming up. The Jazz are kind of on the periphery as well. But if you look at like the betting odds and where he's going to go, the 76ers are like 10-1 to land him. There's three other teams between them and the first place team, or at least in terms of the most likely team, that would be Miami. I'm surprised that a team like, we're talking about betting opportunities here. Do I want to take a risk and go like bet Miami at 9-1 to win an NBA Finals? Yeah. I'm like, no, absolutely not. But if you want to get into this market, and again, it's very important, next regular season minute played, because there is a scenario where he pulls a Kevin Durant, right, where the Trailblazers are like, not a good enough package, you're going to stick around, and then we'll find something at the deadline. But I think Philly's actually a more realistic opportunity for them, because here, I'll put it this way. Out of all of the centerpieces in terms of packages that are out there, Tyrese Maxey, Tyler Hero, Terrence Mann, like wouldn't you rather have Tyrese Maxey?
It's not even a question.
Right.
You're absolutely right about that. You mentioned Tyrese Maxey. Think about this, though. I don't know what the odds are on the 76ers right now to win the NBA title.
15-1.
If you get James Harden combined with Joel Embiid and then you throw in Damian Lillard, for me, JVT, I think all of a sudden now this team becomes the second betting favorite in the Eastern Conference. I'm still going to go with Boston because I think even though Dustin doesn't agree being a former, he was a former Knick, Kristaps Porzingis, I just think his size and his height give you a presence that Boston is somewhat lacking. I get Horford and the defensive ability of Robert Williams. But, man, when you've got to shoot over someone that tall, I think it makes a difference. And I think it makes Robert Williams better at what he does, which is he can defend extremely well off the ball, rebound, get some putbacks and things of that nature. To me, right now, Boston's a clear-cut favorite. But I don't think Miami jumps up to a level that other people do if Damian Lillard goes to the Heat.
Yeah, and Lillard actually brought this up at one point. I don't know which podcast it was, whatever it was. But he made comments about it, which is, if I get traded to a team – that team is going to be really thin. I mean, Dustin, we got into a shouting match over it, right, when we talked about, like, the depth and the sacrifice. Think about what Miami looks like if they trade for Damian Lillard and Tyler Hero's part of that, Dustin. Why am I blanking on the shooter?
Caleb Martin?
Duncan Robinson. Thank you. Duncan Robinson. We already know that Gabe Vincent and Max Strus are gone. Yeah. Like, that's an insanely thin team. Those three are awesome. Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, and Damian Lillard. But the rest that you're filling out that roster with, that's a really thin team, man.
But that's also the organization that turned Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, Duncan Robinson, and a bunch of nobodies into studs. So they believe in their process.
They do. At some point, I feel like it's going to be hard to continue to churn out undrafted players who are going to get multimillion-dollar deals.
But, you know, and I think you're right on that. Duncan Robinson was a good shooter at Michigan. He's an inconsistent shooter. The one thing I would point to, though, real quickly, is I'm not as concerned about lack of depth on the bench in terms of the postseason because you play every second and third day.
I have evidence against that. We'll talk about that later. Chad Dewing's going to join us next. Rip City Radio 620. Let's get the Portland perspective on not only Lillard, but Portland's perspective, because that's actually an intriguing young core that they got to going together.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Sharp Money. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Patrick Maher, Amal Shaw alongside as usual. All right, let's get the professional view on this. Somebody feet on the ground. Chad Dewing's with us, Rip City Radio, 620 radio host. You can follow him on Twitter if you'd like, Chad in Rip City. Chad, we appreciate some time today. So, of course, we were just talking about the Portland Trailblazers and Damian Lillard. So let's start with this. All indications are, Adrian Wojnarowski reported this actually just last night, that the Portland Trailblazers might not want a player like Tyler Hero. A third team is going to have to be involved. As we stand right now, is Miami still in the driver's seat with a package that really, on its surface, does not look that impressive?
I agree with the package initially not looking too impressive, but I do believe that Miami's in the driver's seat because if you look out across the NBA at stars who have demanded trades, they usually will end up where they want to go. So I think what's going to happen is Miami, with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, are going to have to get creative to find a way to get something in return for a Hero or get a third team involved where you can get more draft compensation in return if they're going to pull out that trade for Dame. Because you're right, if the Blazers, they have no need for Tyler Hero. A guy who is a street shooter, doesn't defend well, he would have no long-term plans there. So Miami's going to have to get creative and come up with an answer for Hero, possibly a third team, because you know, if you're going to deal Dame, you've got to make sure you get the proper draft compensation in return along with young players so you have a chance to build around the new nucleus with Shaedon Sharpe and Scoot Henderson.
Chad, if you're Joe Cronin, what's the ideal return for you, either player-wise, or what's the number of at least first-round picks you're potentially looking at?
Well, depending on the type of young players you're going to get back, let's start with that. If you go young, this is a team roster-wise that lacks size and versatility defensively. So you're looking to get bigger. They obviously need a replacement for Nurk, who is an off-injured center, so he's likely gone. So you need a replacement at the five. So you're looking for bigs and young players, fives or fours, who you can put up in the front court. And I would say, depending on the young players, you're looking to get somewhere between 3 to 5 first-round picks in exchange for that Dame deal. I think that's fair for a player who is at the peak of his powers right now. And wherever he's dealt, which is likely going to be a contender, he's going to help them in their championship window. So I think 3 to 5 first-round picks plus young players, I think, is a pretty fair place to start if you're Joe Cronin.
So likely going to be a contender, and we know that Miami is in the driver's seat at this point. Two teams that have been thrown out there that I don't think would be considered contenders, the Utah Jazz and the San Antonio Spurs. Now, they both have assets that I think would make Portland really covet, I think, a trade there because they would get the most out of them. But what is that dynamic? We had the report that Lillard actually has some respect for Pop and maybe would actually like think about playing for San Antonio. Is there some realistic thought that San Antonio and or Utah could be in this thing?
From what I have heard, I do believe that Utah with Danny Ainge is a very strong dark horse. For those who don't know, Dame went to college at Weber State. People in Ogden love him. Dame is very loyal to the places where he's been, whether it's been Oakland, Ogden, or Portland. For the people who have taken a chance on him and shown trust, he's a very loyal individual. And I think it would be very hard if Utah came in with a strong offer for him to turn down an opportunity to go back and play in front of his fans in Ogden. Probably not the ideal spot, but if there's one player in the NBA that wouldn't mind playing in Salt Lake, Dame would be the player. So I think Utah with Danny Ainge is going to be a very strong dark horse because they have multiple assets they could offer up between young players. They've got that nice big in Kessler. Maybe Cronin could pull him in the process. Plus, you'd be able to get multiple picks. And then with San Antonio, not sure that many NBA players look at San Antonio as a destination spot, but the state, in terms of cost of living and taxes, is very nice, so you'll be able to get some money back on that exchange. And I think for Dame, being able to play for Pop, who can put him in a position to get the most out of him, and you get paired with the young phenom and Wemby, I think there would be some appeal there. So I think I would put Utah ahead of San Antonio between those two teams in terms of the inside angle on Dame, but I do think it's possible, but it clearly, if you look at the top two choices probably for Dame, it would be Miami clearly number one. I would say Philadelphia is on the list, the opportunity to go pick and roll with Embiid, and then, you know, Brooklyn potentially because of the market, and they've also got young players and or draft picks they could offer up.
Chad, tell me a little bit about what Dame is like. You mentioned his loyalty, but what's he like as a player to cover? How is he viewed between the line, I mean, off the court by his teammates and the organization as a whole, just as a person?
It's a great question. You know, probably doesn't get the attention it deserves because, you know, he plays in a small market tucked away in the Northwest where the weather is hideous most of the year. Great to cover, answers all the questions, never runs from questions. So, as a media member, he's always terrific in terms of access. So you love that. In terms of the community, what makes Dame really unique as a superstar is that he's pretty humble for a global superstar that makes that type of money. And this is something he learned in his childhood from the family members and friends around him who helped him, you know, navigate the streets of Oakland and helped him throughout the course of his career. So he developed that loyalty at a young age. It continued on to Ogden when he went to Weber State because they were the first school to offer him a full ride. And then Portland took a chance on him in the draft. And he's connected really well in Portland. He's brought a lot of his family members up from Oakland. He's established his businesses up there. He's got a great connection with the fans. A lot of times he'll stop in the middle of some of the poor neighborhoods in Portland and bring a truckload of shoes and just hand them out. So there's a definite love affair between team and community. And, you know, Rip City is unique because it's really, truly a one-team town. And it's been like that ever since they won the title in 77, where the fans and the team have that special connection. And Dame is just an extension of that with the way he's embraced the local area. He's wanted to be there and has shown commitment to the Portland Trail Blazers. And if you show up into town with Portland being unique and we like to keep things weird there, and you show love for the community, you play hard, and you show a certain commitment to the area, people are going to go crazy for you. And that love affair has been in existence now for over a decade.
Chad doing Rip City Radio 620 at Chad and Rip City up on Twitter. So let me ask you this. Last summer, we get a trade request from Kevin Durant from the Brooklyn Nets. It was the talk all summer. It was right around this time, too. Right, summer league's coming up. And ultimately, when the season begins, he is a Brooklyn Net. Is there a chance that Portland still has Damian Lillard on the roster when the regular season begins because they cannot find a deal that they see fit?
It's possible. I would say that that's a possibility because if you're Cronin, there's no pressure on you to get a deal done right away. So he can, you know, take his time and wait to see what offers get put on the table, to make sure he's getting the best possible return for Dame. But, you know, when you draft his heir apparent and Scoot Henderson, and you've got a young nucleus now, the last thing that they want is to have that cloud hanging over their heads as they enter into a new era and a brand new season with a young team. I just think that would be bad for business. I think that would be bad for Scoot, who's trying to, you know, really emerge as a young phenom and show that he can lead the franchise and take over for Dame. So I think that would be a bad case scenario for them. So I expect it to take possibly throughout the summer into camp, but I would expect a deal to get done prior to the new NBA season beginning.
Chad, I love the draft pick of Henderson. And then for people that are unfamiliar, because Shaedon Sharpe never played a game at Kentucky, tell me a little bit about his game. He was durable last year, played 80 games. Just from your perspective, what you've seen about him and how you think he projects out.
I love him. I agree with you, man. Great athlete. He got extended playing time, probably not as much as you would hope for, but he played a ton, got a lot of run down the stretch. But he's long, incredibly athletic. He's got springs in his legs. He can attack the rim, and he's got the potential to become a deadly three-point shooter. And they did a good job of putting him down the stretch when the Blazers were tanking. He was handling the rock a lot. They were putting him in playmaking situations where he had to, you know, learn to deal with the double team. He's got good vision, by all accounts, hard worker in practice, and he's been turning heads ever since he showed up. So he's got a potential to be great and develop into that 3-and-D, you know, type player in the NBA that's so coveted. I think for him, the next step is just continuing to adjust to being a young NBA player, being a professional, making sure that his practice habits and his preparation is on point. But I think the sky's the limit for him. And the great thing about Shaedon is that unlike the previous backcourts in the past with like Dame and CJ, he brings more size and more length with his wingspan and his height to where I think he could become a legit two next to Scoot and hopefully develop into a defensive force. But that size and that athleticism is pretty special. And I think you're going to see Scoot, who is a guy known for his playmaking ability, when those guys get into transition and Chauncey Billups wants his team to run and get out and push the tempo, you could see a lot of special connections between Scoot and Shaedon with his athleticism, because that guy is fearless when it comes to attacking the rim.
Chad, a couple things Chad brought up are great. John Calipari thought that Shaedon could be the first pick in the draft if he had played the previous year at Kentucky. And I love the point Chad just made about the size. Loved McCollum and Dame. But those guys, if you're running fives at the Y, are great size-wise. You're talking about these two guys now are going to be monsters in the backcourt. I think you're going to have the best backcourt in 3 years.
Oh, Portland's future is pretty bright, and they have a pretty interesting summer league roster, too, that's going to be out here in Vegas. Chad, we're up against it, but thanks a lot for the time, man. We really appreciate it.
Hey, happy Fourth, fellas, anytime.
Thanks, man. You too. Chad doing again, Rip City Radio 620. Yeah, I think, too, that's why I was really surprised by the way it was all handled, because I've been pretty adamant about this for a while. If I'm Portland, I was telling Lillard, like, sorry, man, our windows don't match anymore. Let's get this thing done. We've got a young core that we got to start to develop.
I agree with you. And you mentioned the Henderson pick, and you put him with Shaedon Sharpe. Now you got to go get a big.
All right, we have an update on Mike Trout. It's not really great. How much does it change the dynamic for the Angels, who are scuffling a bit and have a big decision to make before the trade deadline? We'll discuss that when we come back here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
It's always football season here at VSIN, which is why we've just released our NFL betting guide. Our NFL betting guide is going to help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season. We've got in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSIN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and get our newly released NFL betting guide. You know what $19 would get you back in the day? Or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl. How about that? For only $175. Check it all out at VSiN.com/subscribe. And I will stress, again, you get everything we do through the Super Bowl. So that includes, I know this is going to sound crazy, but that includes the start of the new NHL season, the new NBA season, everything that comes in between college basketball, everything we do through the Super Bowl. So very much worth it. Check it out, VSiN.com/subscribe. So we do have news. Angels Clubhouse opened up just a few minutes ago, and that coincides with an update. The Angels have placed Mike Trout on the 10-day injured list after suffering a left hamate fracture in yesterday's game.
Hamate?
Okay.
It's not Harambe, not the gorilla who died first.
That changed the events of the world as we know it. Butterfly effect, I'm telling you. I was going to make a joke. I don't think it was appropriate, so I'll move on. So the team announced that today. So a 10-day injured list for Mike Trout fracture. I guess, look, think 10-day injured lists, it sounds better than especially some of the comments. I don't know if you saw some of his quotes afterwards. It was a pain he couldn't describe that he had never felt before. Like, wow. It sounded pretty bad coming out of it yesterday. So here's the thing. The Angels are now scuffling around. They had a really good series against the Texas Rangers about, 2 weeks ago, and then it all fell apart after that. They paced the Rockies in one game but ultimately lose the series. The offense has been pretty hit or miss, mostly miss, not a lot of hit. And this is a team that, at the beginning of the season, had prided itself on signing a lot of guys in terms of adding depth, right, because that was one of their big issues. Gio Urshela, Zach Neto, Logan O'Hop, Brandon Drury, Ben Joyce, Matt Moore, Jose Quijada, Austin Warren, and now Mike Trout. These are all guys who are injured for the Angels at this point right now. This thing's falling apart at the seams, and you're only a couple of games above 500. You're slowly starting to distance yourself in the bad way in the wild card race. You got a lot of questions to ask yourself if you're the Angels now as you get to the trade deadline of what you're going to do here for this team.
Well, I think this kind of solidifies in which direction they're going to go. Unfortunately,
buy everything at the deadline. I agree.
I had a feeling something might like that was your thought process being an Angels fan. I think it's tough. You know, unfortunately, you're going to have to move on from Shohei. I don't know what your feeling is in terms of which team he winds up with, but I believe it's going to be the New York Mets or the New York Yankees.
I don't think he's going to sniff the East Coast if he leaves.
You don't. You think it's the Dodgers.
I think if you go back to when he was first being courted in, right. You know, in Major League Baseball, all indications were that the East Coast teams were getting a cold shoulder from him, that he didn't really want to go play out there. Heyman actually had a piece 3 days ago, 4 days ago, that said that there are three teams that are emerging that could potentially sign Ohtani once he becomes a free agent. It was the Giants, it was the Dodgers, and the Angels. He prefers, it seems, to live on the West Coast. I don't think that's going to be the case. Again, I could be wrong. I'm just reading the information that's out there. But I think I think he remains on the West Coast.
I don't disagree with you. Look, the big difference in having to go to Japan, 6-hour flight difference from New York as opposed to Los Angeles. But I think, Dustin and I were talking about this. I think the way the Mets have performed this year, they need somebody to come in that's going to make a difference on that team and kind of reinvigorate the fan base a little bit. I think Steve Cohen is going to pay so much more than anybody else that that's what's going to catapult him to New York.
Isn't he already down hundreds of millions of dollars?
Listen, you're not buying this team to make money. If he wanted to, he could just stay on Wall Street. This is just to let everybody else know, hey, I beat the rap when they were trying to indict me for insider trading and let you know I'm one of the richest guys. The reason why you buy a sports team is to let everybody know who you are.
He's so rich. The Mets are paying these guys this much money to not be on the team.
I saw
Cano, this. Cano, $20 million. Yep. James McCann, $11 million. Eduardo Escobar, $9 million. Chris Flexen, who they traded for and released, $4
million. Flexen,
Darren Ruff, $3.3 million. Bobby Bonilla, Brett Saberhagen, Tommy Hunter. It's almost $50 million to go away.
How many Bonilla days we got left?
Till 2035.
We got a few.
Only
man.
Seven left.
Look, you
no,
said
wait,
he
no, 35.
11,
yeah,
12
35,
actually.
11. Yeah, 12.
JVT,
yeah.
You said he prefers to be on the West Coast. I understand, but would he prefer to make $500 million instead?
I think that there's still money out there. I think any of these teams would be able to do it to pay him the money that he wants.
I don't disagree with you. I think the Dodgers can offer a great package. There's no question about it. But I think at the end of the day, because Cohen wants this player. And here's the other thing why I think he's worth almost anything you pay him. And I generally am not an advocate of overpaying. But to me, when you look at it right now, you've got a scenario where you get a tremendous starting pitcher and you get the best power hitter in baseball.
Of course.
Well, and also, do you know who the GM was for the Angels when he signed with them?
I was not.
Jerry DePoto?
No, it wasn't DePoto at that time, was it?
It was Billy Epler, who is the GM of the Mets right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a relationship there.
Oh, there's a relationship there. Well, I think that we underestimate some players' desire for like what they want to do in terms of living. Like,
no,
right,
I don't,
like lifestyle.
I don't at all. I agree with you there. I don't disagree with that at all. I think you bring up an excellent point.
Right? Like there's sometimes, I mean, look, this is more of like the negative way, but like look at Harden, right? James Harden was like, nah, dude, I just want to go play ball and live in Houston. Like it's and ultimately didn't work out. But like some players' lifestyle does weigh pretty strongly. And living on the West Coast, by all indications, is what Ohtani wants to do. I mean, look, like, for example, you know, the Giants, what was it going to be for Aaron Judge? $360 million?
Yeah.
Do you kind of shrink that down over the course of, you know, a few less years so he can make more per year, whatever it is? Maybe. But I still think there's money out there for him to go. And I'll say this. Either way, what we're talking about here with Ohtani, I feel pretty confident in saying he's not going anywhere this year. I think the Angels are going to do everything to keep him this year. They're going to do everything to make the playoffs to show him that they can get in there and build something. Every indication from that team is that they're not going to trade him away.
I mean, you would hope that would happen, right? Like, the fact that they were the team that ended up getting him was a surprise to begin with. The most disappointing thing is that they found him. He is who he is, Dude. And they've done nothing with him.
Absolutely nothing.
So I was just texting an orthopedic surgeon to ask him what's the timeline. Realistically, he said 4 to 6 weeks.
The hamate fracture, not the hamate.
And so if you're an Angel fan, you got Shohei. You're going to get an incredible package because, to me, if I'm a team right now, and we were talking about this yesterday, I think everybody has some vulnerability right now except the Atlanta Braves. Mm-hmm. And if you add a player like Shohei Ohtani, go ahead.
What if the Braves add Shohei Ohtani?
I was just thinking that when I was saying it. I was like, come on, man, that's not even fair. Because I think if you're a team in the American League, let's say the Texas Rangers, I don't know, I'd be willing to give up a lot just to have him for a rental.
Sure. Well, and the Rangers, I mean, adding him to that lineup would be incredible. And they need another pitcher in that staff, like, because they thought DeGrom was going to be back. That's obviously not happening. Like, that would be incredible for him to go and get. I also have the Rangers to win the World Series from like a month or two ago. So I'm down with that, too, if he's going to leave.
Well, first of all, I think it's a great bet because Dustin and I were talking about this. Houston is vulnerable. They're playing better. They're three games back. They had a nice win yesterday, which the Rangers, if they had pulled that one out, that would have been huge after being down 10-2. But I still think when you look in the American League Central, nobody's a threat. The Guardians can't score. The Twins can't score. I don't know if the Yankees are even going to be able to survive scoring enough runs as you get towards the postseason. Cole's pitched effectively. Dustin mentioned this. Toronto's a dangerous team still simply because their bats could come alive. And then Tampa Bay, if you look at them, they're sitting at 57-30 coming into today. But they're 9-0 to start the season against Oakland, Detroit, and Washington. Right. So I think there's some issues there with this team as well. I don't know. To me right now, outside of the Braves, and you could beat them in a 4-out-of-7-game series, this is a great go-forward type of year for me.
Sorry, really quickly, because maybe you mentioned it and I just didn't hear it. You were texting your friend. Did he give you a timeline?
He said 4 to 6 weeks on this type of injury, depending on where the fracture is and depending on the severity of it.
Okay.
But it's his hand, and he's going to have to rehab.
Yep.
There's a process here.
Well, and that's – I mean, it's – I guess does it lessen the blow a bit that you're heading into the all, like it happens now, like you're heading into the All-Star break, like you get some time off. He's not going to miss the games or as many as he would have if he had done this on the other side of the All-Star break, but.
That's a fair question. Here's what I do if I'm the Angels. I trade away Ohtani and tell him we're going to re-sign you, but you go get the Hall of Prospects.
How about this? Okay. We want to get crazy. At the deadline, do you shop Mike Trout?
Well, I thought they should have shopped him a couple years ago.
Right,
I
mean, it's his worst year he's had.
It's his worst year. But he's still Mike Trout. I'm sure you're going to get something back for him that would be tangible that you can add to this team.
31?
Is that it?
But like, I just either way, they're in a precarious position because they're playing with fire. The fact that they're going to put all their eggs in this basket and hope, like, hey, all we have to do is just make it to the playoffs and show him that we can get there. And if we just add a little bit more around him, like we can be a successful franchise.
He'll be 32 on August 7th. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. I, my personal opinion, two signings set this franchise back. Pujols and Rendon.
Yeah.
And they haven't
recovered. You can throw Richardson in there too.
Who is that?
Josh Hamilton. Hamilton, thank you.
Yeah, that was another bad one.
But it's like, if you're Ohtani, this organization's kind of shown you who they were. They had a chance to capitalize with you, and they haven't. Artie Moreno was selling the team a year ago. Right. And all of a sudden, now he's not.
Yeah, no, there are no buyers. What's going on?
Well, by the way, really quickly, because we're going to get to this, like, you know, the ramifications of if it gets traded to the NL and what that can mean. But that's why I don't think they're trading him. Artie Moreno is a hard-headed dude, man. And like, if he doesn't want something, he ain't going to do it. And him trading Ohtani or this team doing it, that represents a loss on his resume, and I don't think he would be willing to do that in terms of his ego. All right, it's a great day of baseball, obviously. A lot of day games that are already underway and or finalized. We have a few first pitches coming up in about 25 minutes or so, so let's get to those on the other side. Sharp Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw. VSiN, the sports betting network.
Download the DraftKings app today, and new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus instantly. Use promo code VSiN, VSIN, when you sign up. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. I would say equally good hair, but not as good looking. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel, filling in for Patrick Maher, who, according to rumors, is recovering at home from calf implant surgery.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday. He was a little groggy after the operation, but overall seemed to be doing okay. Said his calves are really sore, but they're going to look great once they heal.
Wow, he did two. He did both of them, huh?
Well, yeah, they're a little undersized. He was self-conscious about it.
I just meant at a time. I figured you'd do like one and then maybe recover.
They say you got to knock them out at once. They get just like knee replacement. You have to walk right away to get used to it. And he hasn't worn shorts in like 10 years.
Wow. Chicken legs, huh?
Yeah.
Regular Joe Montana.
Yeah, so this will help him a lot. So do me a favor. At the Rap Radio on Twitter, just tell him you hope he's feeling better.
I thought you were going to ask for prayers.
Keep your prayers today. I always hate when somebody fractures their arm or something and somebody's like, prayers up. I'm like, you do realize there's like about a quarter of the world that's starving.
Also,
and you're worried about some guy who makes $10 million a year because he's got a fractured pinky finger.
Also, what are the odds? I don't want to start anything. What are the odds that the person that's tweeting prayers up is going to their bed and genuflecting and actually like, dear Lord, please take care of athlete X.
There's only one ailment that I will ask for prayers for. And like, I think we all can agree it's the worst of them all. It's that when you get an inside the nose pimple.
Never had one.
What?
I've gotten an ear pimple, but I've never gotten it in the nose.
In the nose is brutal.
I thought you were going to say, it's two outs. You're down by three. You're like, you know, one time. Give it the one time.
Here's what I've learned. I've learned in those situations, God is never on my side.
No. You know, in the most likely scenario that anybody, regardless of faith, will pray, it's when you're over the toilet, drunk out of your mind, and it just won't stop. And you're like, please, I'll never do
I'll
this
never
again.
I'll never drink again.
In my case, it's actually true.
There you go. That's a good point. All right, really quickly, we were talking. We have to bring this conversation up because we were talking about this off the air because this does stem from the Ohtani, you know, conversation, which is obviously, hey, the guy could get traded. I don't think it could happen, but again, it is a possibility that he could get traded before the deadline. And the National League teams have been thrown out there. We were talking about the Mets. If the Braves, for some reason, like, I don't say for some reason, if they just want to guarantee themselves a championship, essentially just grab them.
They could use a starter behind Strider.
I don't know what I would do. That would be insanity.
It'd be the greatest offense ever assembled.
It would be cool to watch. And if it went down, like, that'd be also a great story. But if he goes over to the National League, so there's a lot of different conversations from this. The first of which I think is most interesting is our revamping of the award system in Major League Baseball.
I liked your idea.
Which I think it would cause a lot of good conversations. I know a lot of people get tired of like the MVP conversation in the NBA. But to have a league-wide, either as you called it, most outstanding player and keep the league MVPs, or make it a league-wide MVP and do outstanding player for both leagues, whatever it is, to have conversations today about, like, hey, who should win this thing, Acuna or Ohtani? And even if it gets traded to the National League, that'd still be part of the conversation. It'd be incredible.
Well, yeah, and this stems from the fact of Amal and I were discussing last night, what if Ohtani's traded to the National League? He's minus 1,400 to win the AL MVP right now. If he's traded to a contender in the NL, I think that opens up that entire market where the next shot on the board behind him is 30-1 in Corey Seager over at DraftKings, because he's not winning the AL award if he only plays half the season in the league, even though he's been double the normal player.
We're gonna ask Bob Nightingale about this. Are you sure?
Well,
are we sure that he wouldn't still win the award if he got traded to the National League? It was possible.
1984, Rick Sutcliffe got traded from what is back then was the Indians, now the Guardians, to the Cubs in June. He won the National League Cy Young. He was in the National League for about 3.5 months. But this would be interesting because Acuna right now is a slam dunk to win in the National and Ohtani in the American League. But if he wound up in the same league as him, then what happens? That's really interesting, especially from a betting standpoint, because Ohtani is such a prohibitive favorite. Corey Seager second right now, 30-1. Wander Franco, 45-1.
I would think he has no shot to win National League MVP if he goes there.
No, that's the thing. So then Ohtani, the greatest season we've ever seen, he would walk away with no awards?
Right.
I proposed in the break, we create the Ohtani Award, and that's for the most outstanding player in both leagues, the number one player in baseball, and it's about actual just production the team success isn't relevant to the conversation. Who had the best year in baseball? It's Ohtani, and the MVP can truly still remain most valuable players. And it eliminates that debate of when, like, Mike Trout's on a third-place Angels team, but he's clearly the best player in baseball, right, but people think he shouldn't be the MVP.
I like JVT's idea. Like, we have the NFL MVP and then the offensive and defensive players of the year. So you take an offensive and defensive player of the year in baseball, and then you have the overall MVP. Mm-hmm. Because the one problem that I see in most of these sports right now, outside of probably the NBA, any one of the five players on the floor can win the MVP. Hockey, I think you can win it if you're a goaltender or if you're a forward or a center. I think it's very tough to win it if you're a defenseman. In baseball, Verlander won the MVP that one year, which I disagreed with. I thought if anyone's ever going to win it as a pitcher again, it was Pedro. And then, of course, in the NFL, we've got like seven players that are competing for it. And by the time you get to about halfway turn of the season, you've got about four quarterbacks that are competing for it.
Yeah, and it would just eliminate scenarios like this too, right? Where you have an MVP award with a minus 1,400 favorite,
yeah, exactly,
at the top of it. And we're all just kind of waiting, especially if he stays in the American League, you're just kind of waiting for the season to end and this guy's going to take it. Like the betting dynamic of Ohtani versus Acuna for whatever the award would be, would be absolutely fascinating. But if he goes to the National League, Dustin, your point's great, which is what happens with the American League MVP? Because I don't think he would do enough in the National League to be able to win that award and take it from a guy who's having an insane season in his own right in Acuna. And in the American League, I don't think it would be crazy if he still won it, but
so
very
tell me
unlikely.
This. I'm going to list the teams. You tell me if you think that they can trade for him, and I'm going to cut it off at the Padres at 55-1. So let's go AL first. Tampa Bay.
No.
Mm-mm.
But they actually make real quick on the Rays, they make the most sense because
they can make a good offer.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
The Astros.
No.
Well, also, it's in division.
Yeah.
Correct. Well, yeah. No, in division, you're not going to make that move. That's a good point.
The next team is the Rangers. They're in division two, though.
Right.
That's true.
I mean, I also think too, there's the thought, I think you'd be more willing to trade him in the division only because he's a free agent right at the end of the year.
Yeah.
There's not a guarantee that he's actually going to stick around.
Yeah, but the Astros feel like a lost season.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. So Rangers, maybe. I'd say yes for them. The Yankees?
Yeah, they're always going to be
prospects
around.
Yep. And they could use them. They need a bat and they need an arm. The Blue Jays?
Yes.
They're usually aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
The Twins? No.
Mm-mm.
The Orioles?
No. Well, they have prospects.
They've got the cachet to do it.
I'm intrigued by the Orioles on a rental. If the price is not what the market value should be for Ohtani, they have enough surplus in young prospects to make a decent offer for the rental.
I was going to say, I agree with you there, but I just don't think they're good enough as a whole to believe in this team to come out of the American League.
I also think their actions in the offseason show that they didn't really do much in the offseason.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't really buying into this year, so I'll say no.
Then the Guardians.
No.
All right, let's go to the National League, the Braves.
I'd say, yeah,
yes.
Sure.
I wouldn't put it past them. The Dodgers.
Yes.
I don't think the Dodgers are going to do it. Because they're not going to want to give up those prospects when you can go get him.
Also, the roster's kind of depleted.
That's a good point, but I think that's a stronger point. He's going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
Like, let's just put the full court press by the time we get to the offseason.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, the Dodgers are going to make the postseason, but I think we look at their season, and they're kind of punting on the year.
Right. And you tell Ohtani, like, hey, man, look, you don't even have to move, but you can be on a much better team.
Yeah. The Brewers.
No.
They could really use them. D-backs.
No.
Phillies?
Possibility, but unlikely.
Right.
We'll keep them though. Giants.
I would say yes. They're already interested in them.
Marlins.
No.
And then the Padres.
Well, they're having a fire sale every which way. So who knows what they would do?
Yeah, I'd say no.
Say no. So right now that leaves us with 1, 2, 4 NL teams. 1, 2, 3 AL teams where he could go.
Mm.
That's the list. So we have one more NL team potentially in the mix.
Well,
traded to the NL, this AL MVP race is insane.
Well, you're forgetting an AL team, the team he's on.
What about him?
I mean, he could stay.
You have to accept this.
I'm just telling you, he could stay.
Look, I think it's a mistake if the Angels retain him.
Yeah, it's bad business.
Oh, that's another conversation. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. If you're running the risk that you could just lose him for nothing and whatever. Oh, I agree with that.
If someone's going to break up with you, they're going to break up with you at some point over the issue. Like, you're not going to save it in the final few months here. Just move on with your lives.
I mean, great point.
Pick the team for a reason.
Well,
He's probably never been to America. They tricked him by changing the name from the California Angels to the LA Angels.
Do you think they took him to like Dodger Stadium and they were like, this place is great. Like, this is where you're going to play all the time.
I think it's all been a ploy since the day they rebranded from the California Angels to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim to then the Los Angeles Angels. It's all been a ploy to okie doke Shohei Ohtani.
Should be the Long Beach Angels, but already screwed that up too. Oh, boy. I love that team. It's great. Love rooting for them. All right. Top of the next hour, we'll get to these 1:10 p.m. Pacific time starts. I know that Dustin's got something in this Mets Diamondbacks matchup that maybe didn't go well. We'll talk about that more as we get to the second hour. Sharp Money here on VSiN.